You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Michael K. is on the radio today. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us.
Oh, yeah.
On this Friday.
Look at the seal clap.
March 15th, 2024.
You don't know.
Michael, Don, Peter coming to you live from the Rutherford, which is on 33rd, just off 8th, across street from Madison Square Garden, where tonight at 5:30,
yeah,
we get St. John's against UConn. St. John's tries to continue its unlikely run to a Big East title and an NCAA appearance as well. And UConn, the defending national champions, who have not been able to break through when it comes to the Big East tournament, they're going to try to knock off St. John's.
And that'd be something, wouldn't it?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so that would be pretty incredible at the Garden. I think they've already punched their ticket to the dance, but boy, if they're able to beat UConn, there'd be a tremendous amount of excitement around that team. That'd be cool.
All right, so, you know, I mentioned it on Twitter earlier, but the unveiling of the Pusick has happened today.
I like it. I do.
Really?
Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that he looks great or even good.
No, but you wouldn't want to say that.
You ever hear this compliment? Like when somebody says to you, like, it sounded
okay.
Okay, it sounded. You know what? It didn't sound out of the ordinary. Like you didn't screw it up, kind of thing. It's like that. It says if I saw him walk down the street, I wouldn't go, oh my God, what's on his face?
Right.
Like it looks like style, and it's not out of the ordinary. It's not out of. Doesn't look for knowing him, it's out of character. But if I didn't know him, I wouldn't say that's out of character for
it's,
him.
It's actually given me some insight into why the Pusick is such a weird choice for Pusick.
Right.
Because it looks sort of normal on, you know, a man with like a gray beard. This kind of looks like, but it changes Michael's entire personality.
How so? Talk to me.
You're mean now.
You think so?
Yeah, this is a mean guy. You wouldn't agree. Don, this is a guy, Michael K. goes from being the guy we know to, instead of being named Michael K., his name is, I'll play with the restaurant, his name's Don Rutherford, you know,
okay.
And he does sports talk elsewhere, and he does afternoon drive, he also does morning drive, he's also the program director, he's mean to everybody, he has a table at the local Ponderosa, they know him every day, he goes in there, he sits in the parking lot, he smokes a cigar, he's mean to everybody. That is that beard.
But I also get a sense of someone that maybe is a closet alt-rock fan, plays acoustic guitar, maybe a little electric guitar on the weekends, a garage band that never really got going.
You know, it's funny, the beard, when you said closet alt, I didn't think the next word was going to be rock. I thought it was going to be something else.
Oh, wow.
Well, let me give you the breakdown. For those that are just tuning in, we made a bet who would have the best record during the football season. And the one that had the worst record would have to grow a Pusick. And a Pusick is, for those that are listening on radio, for some reason, it's a patch of hair on your chin, no mustache, no attaching beard, nothing. This is what our producer, Anthony Pusick, sports.
That's why it's called the Pusick.
Right. So when I grew the beard in, actually, my whole family liked it.
Yeah, the whole beard looked pretty good.
You know, they said, I could see this. I could see this being a thing. Then yesterday, while you were out, Don, I carved it down into a goatee.
Right. I did see that during our meeting. I decided to attend the meeting.
Right.
I was off.
They did not like that much, but
no.
They didn't hate it.
Okay. I didn't love it.
So then Charlie was all excited about it. He shaved the mustache off yesterday.
He did?
He did, and he just had a blast.
Okay.
And so today they went to school, and I did the rest of the Pusick today. And I came down, and Jody goes, oh, that's never a good sign.
No.
Not often.
And I said, what do you think? She goes, I really like the beard. I said, what do you think of this? She goes, well, you lost a bet.
That's right. That's called an honest
and
wife.
You did. Let's not forget.
Right.
That, okay.
Right. I have to suffer.
So
and,
we. Yeah.
But then we have to go to a fundraiser for the local school where we live today. She goes, well, you only have to wear it on the show today, right? You're not, no. You'll shave it off before tonight.
Au contraire, mon frère.
And I said, no, I have to wear it tonight. And then she threw this at me. She goes, maybe go to the Big East games. I'll get rid of the ticket.
Really?
And I said, no, I'm coming like this.
That's right.
You want to let him off the hook?
No. I wouldn't have time to go. The thing starts at 7, so I wouldn't have time to go home and shave.
Well, maybe we can do something here.
No.
Isn't there a Dwayne Reed around the corner?
Oh, it's an Emporium.
No, we're not letting him off, though.
And, all right, I just wanted to be nice.
The beauty is...
I don't want him to get divorced over it.
The beauty is we have all weekend for it to grow, and next week it can be an even thicker Pusick. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Thicker Pusick.
Yeah.
Yep, title of my 8th book. Let's talk a little good news. How about that? Peter, Don, you ready for good news?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this is not great news, but it's not terrible news.
No, it's good.
So, you know, no Tommy John surgery for Gerrit Cole.
For now.
We're so back, baby.
Here's what I don't
We're
get.
So back.
The Yankees have not really made a definitive statement on this, and I keep hearing for now. There's no tear in the UCL. Why would there ever be Tommy John surgery? They've done all these tests. Huh? There's no tear. And I've heard everybody say, for now. Well, what does that mean? What are we not being told? So they think that he should be out anywhere from a month to 12 weeks, which is 3 months.
12 weeks wouldn't be great.
Well, you know what? It's not a killer. You have this guy for the second half of the season and the postseason run.
Wait, does the good. 3 months include
I think
the ramp up?
He'd be ready to go in 3 months.
Ready to go. Right.
So, yeah, that's fine.
Right.
But the reason, again, you read things. The reason I think that it's being brought up that way is rest going to be enough? And that would be where it could spell disaster, that if he comes back 3 months from now and is great for a few starts and then it rears its ugly head again and now you kick the can down the road and then he needs Tommy John surgery and instead of getting him back in March of next year, now you're getting him back in July or August of next year and now you've wasted 2 seasons of not having full Cole. But it worked out with everybody thought that Tanaka was going to need Tommy John, never needed it, and he had a partial tear.
Right, and he went 9 years afterward without ever needing it.
Right, so we'll see. Michael, it's always a little scary, and we'll see what happens when he comes back in 3 months, and you hope that everything goes back to normal and we forget about it, just a footnote in his career, and not something that's going to rear its ugly head a year from now, a year and a half from now, when the Yankees are also still going to be needing him to be at a high level to try to compete for a championship.
Now, because Cole is definitely out for opening day, the Yankees are looking for an opening day starter. They haven't named one yet. Also, some news today that you would not file under great news, although we don't know whether it's bad news. Aaron Judge is supposed to take BP today.
Right.
He's supposed to play tomorrow. He's not taking BP today. He says he's going to lift weights, whatever. And Aaron Boone had said yesterday, if he doesn't take BP tomorrow, Friday, then I'm not going to play him the next day. I have to have him take BP before. So he was asked today, well, are you going to play Sunday? He goes, we'll see. He doesn't seem like he's aggravated over it. Doesn't seem like it's going to set him back in terms of, you know, opening day. But that's a little concerning, don't you think?
A little bit, because it's Judge and what's going on. But is it just them being ultra careful around a team that's got such a microscope on it that they feel like they want to give answers and they're optimistic and they think he can play on Friday, but then he can't, so everybody's on top of it. Why isn't he taking batting practice? You're not going to let things kind of fly under the radar here. That doesn't happen with the New York Yankees. I think they're just going to really treat him like a China doll, meaning any kind of pain, any kind of discomfort. That's why I don't expect this to be a smooth season. We're gonna take phone calls. Why isn't Judge playing today? Why did Judge miss that game? Why is he only playing 2 games of the Red Sox series? Or why is he only playing 2 games in the Orioles series? They're gonna talk about scheduled days off. There's gonna be, well, he's not, you know, he kind of tweaked this. They're not taking any chances, Michael. They're gonna treat him like the athlete that he is, like the money that they've invested in him. He is as big a commodity as there is in sports, and they're not going to mess with it.
And he's and let's just be honest now. We're, what, 7 years into this deal, 6 years?
Well, no, he's got 8 more years.
No. Yeah. I mean the Aaron Judge overall situation.
Yeah, 2016.
He is a fragile flower, that Aaron Judge. He is wonderful. He is amazing. He is as good a player as there is in the sport, but we can't sit here and pretend like he's the guy you ever want trying to power through anything. That's not who he is.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll push back on that a little
Go
bit.
Go ahead.
The year that, you know, he was going to be a free agent, he played all the time and hit 62 home runs. Last year, I mean, it's not his fault the Dodgers didn't have the wall padded, and he hurt his toe.
But this is the argument we get into all the time. Whether it's the wall's fault, whether it's he shouldn't have been dove for that ball, whatever the thing is, well, we have to be honest. He does have a tendency to find injury fairly often.
But any other player in any other sport would feel something in their rib or when they ran, feel a little pull of the hamstring, tell the coach. Coach will say, we'll give you a day. Don't say anything to the media. Doesn't matter. Comes back 2 days later, plays, no harm, no foul. Can't do that with Aaron Judge. Everybody's watching this guy. Everybody's paying attention to what's going on. When he misses a game, why? Need to know why. And if you find out, oh, because, yeah, he ran to first base. He felt a little, oh, my God, he felt a tug at his hamstring?
It does. It's true.
It's headlines. So, and I think that's the way it's going to look. There are, especially in a baseball season, there's always little things. Even in hockey with the Rangers, you know, we always find out, now we got a couple of guys banged up. We're not really sure what the starting lineup's going to be. We're not really sure who's going to dress. And then everybody dresses and everybody's fine. With Aaron Judge, if he's not feeling it, they're going to sit him down. And when they sit him down, it becomes national news that they've got to address and they've got to give answers to. And if they're cagey, then it becomes even more of a story. And if they tell you what they think and they're wrong, then it becomes even a bigger story. It's really just about the amount of tension that's always on this team.
All right, now on the Mets side, David Stern spoke today and said that Kodai Senga was supposed to start ramping up and throwing again. They're going to shut him down for 7 to 10 more days. So I don't think you're going to see Kodai Senga anytime in the near future. You already know Quintana is going to be the starter on opening day.
Yes, they announced that.
And, Senga was supposed to be their lead guy. But the Mets, whatever they do this year, I think is going to be a pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. That's why we're not going crazy over Senga. And also, Senga's not the equal of Cole.
He's their ace.
But they're not expected to try to win a World Series. The Yankees are, and take away Cole, that's a huge, huge thing.
I get that the ceiling isn't as high, but there are expectations that you want to try to meet. And if the expectations are, we got a chance to compete for a wild card, good luck doing that without Senga.
Right.
So everybody wants to reach their goal, whatever it is, finishing above 500, making the wild card, win the division, win a championship. That goal is going to be very difficult to meet. With Cody Senga out.
I would agree. I would agree. And there's also been rumors, and he's kind of shot them down, that the Mets were interested in J.D. Davis because they're not quite sure about Beatty and Vientos. And I think he shot down J.D. Davis and also J.D. Martinez today. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, if they decided to go for J.D. Davis, then I'd say they're full of it. I mean, do you want to play the kids or not? Don't get J.D. Davis to play third base. You've got to, this season's
that's
about, let's check out Beatty and Vientos. Let's see.
Right.
Because if not, then why did you sign all those other players?
Unless you get a guy that's a really good, legit DH in J.D. Martinez on the cheap, and you feel like, you know what, I want to develop these guys, but now I've got a chance to be really competitive. Then I'm okay with it. But it's going to take a chance on a guy that was released by San Francisco and doesn't look like he's got that bright of a future. Then what are you doing? I agree with you.
Well, I mean, J.D. Davis might put up better numbers than Brett Beatty. I mean,
but the point is, does he make them more competitive?
It makes him a little bit more, but not a lot.
But not enough to
throw. All right, we want to see what these kids have. You can't throw that out the window now.
But
that
for J.D. Martinez, I think about it though.
I don't even know if you do that. I mean, do you want to see what Vientos has? Because if you're going to start signing Vientos, if you're going to start signing Beatty and stop yourself, Michael. If you're going to start signing Martinez and Davis, then you should have been signing all veteran players before this. Well, it's about seeing what you have.
But it's also, Michael, when you're talking about the DH, it's all right. How do they feel about Vientos? Do they feel like he can pop the way that that other players have when given the opportunity? I don't know how they feel about him.
Right.
Beatty, maybe they feel stronger about him, or maybe they're not. I think it all just depends on, I want to see the kid play, but if I got a chance to get a legit third baseman or a legit DH is going to help us win a few more games. And again, it's only a one-year contract, I'm assuming, for Martinez. That's what it was with the Dodgers last year.
Yep.
Maybe they think it's worth it. They might not get either of them. I really felt like maybe Martinez's price comes down to the point where how do you say no? But, hey, you are held to your word, and the word is let the kids play. Are you letting them play if you go sign a veteran?
It is unbelievable at this point what Boris's client, you know, the three Boris clients, it's just unbelievable. I mean, J.D. Martinez not signed. Snell and Montgomery in a sport that's desperate for starting pitching, not signed. It's March 15th. Forget about, like, being ready for the opener. They would miss the first month of the season.
And pitchers have gotten hurt.
Yes. The Yankees lost Gerrit Cole.
Right.
The Mets lost Cody Senga, and nobody is sniffing on Snell and Montgomery. And talk about misreading the market. Also, and I always say this, nobody has more respect for Scott Boras than me. He lost a stare down with the Cubs about Bellinger, too.
Yeah.
So this has not been a great time for him.
Is he losing it?
I don't think it's a great question. He's so smart he's not losing it. But here's the deal. For years, for decades, he was always by far the smartest guy in the room.
Not anymore.
Now you got all these guys from MIT and Harvard that are GMs. They're just as smart. So he's not like outsmarting those people. And also he used to be able to go directly to a Mike Ilitch or one of the owners and get them to like finally cave. Now these GMs are setting up, you know, roadblocks. You can't get to the owner. We're making the decision. So I think a lot of his leverage has changed. Next year, it's all going to be back. Because he's going to have Juan Soto, and he's going to get whatever he wants. So if you have a perfect player, then that's...
Yeah, but that's not him getting it. That's just Soto.
Yeah, but he knows how to play.
Meaning using
he
Soto?
Knows, yeah, he knows how to play the market. But when you've got guys that have warts like Snell and Montgomery and J.D. Martinez, who's older, and Cody Bellinger, you're going to... You know, he used to hand out binders, right? Now, organizations laugh at those binders. They all have that information.
But, listen, losing it strong, but is he losing his grip on being the smartest man in the room and is stubborn, not wanting to admit it, and now is, like, really hurting his clients here?
Right.
I mean, it's the Ides of March. It's March 15th, Michael. These pitchers aren't going to be ready for the start of the season, not even close. Now, J.D. Martinez, you know, hitters, it's a different situation. Those guys can jump right in. But Snell, what kind of impact is he going to have on a team if he signed tomorrow? No, he won't be ready for opening day. Likely, if he tries to get ready sooner than later, will get himself hurt.
Yep.
You know, so who's winning here? I mean, you're just waiting for catastrophic injury? Well, the Red Sox lost a pitcher. Yankees have lost a pitcher. Mets are starting the season without Cody Senga. Well, we've got guys hurt. You were saying, well, maybe somebody's getting hurt in Nelson. Well, guys have gotten hurt.
Yep.
And they haven't batted an eye.
Now, because Cole is hurt, the Yankees are looking for an opening day starter. Now, Aaron Boone has said, you know, he knows who it's going to be. And we talked about this yesterday because the news kind of broke in during the show. I want to get Don's take. Because, you know, I'm listening today as I'm driving in, and a lot of people are killing Marcus Stroman. Now, there are two sides to this, and I can understand why. It's a different world, everybody. You know, when Casey Stengel would say to Whitey Ford, you're pitching tomorrow, there wasn't going, no, it's not on my, you know.
Right.
He's pitching tomorrow. They would drop a ball in your shoe, and you're pitching. That's all there is to it. There was no pushback. Well, Boone and Cashman met with Stroman and to ask him if he wanted to start opening day, and he said, I don't want to break my routine. I don't want to do that. And then he said today, well, they agreed. He said, to me, it's not that big a deal to start opening day. And that's where I want to defend him a little bit. Opening day has the pop and circumstance. But what does it mean? It's one game out of 162. But there is an honor to it. But he's also having the honor of starting the opener at home against the Blue Jays, his former team. I don't think he wants to get out of that. If he starts opening day in Houston, he's not starting the home opener.
When I think opening day, I'm thinking home. That's the pomp and circumstance. There's going to be pomp and circumstance around the Astros, but does it matter who's pitching for the Yankees? To a Yankee fan, I guess there is an honor to be the first pitcher, but isn't it more of a big deal, Peter, in your own building?
You know what?
Do you have a problem with Stroman saying no?
No, I don't, for two reasons. Number one, I think his end game is to start the first game at Yankee Stadium. And you've always told me, athletes are creatures of habit, especially pitchers. So routine is very important to him. He wants to give an impression early. He really wants to make this work. So I'm going to err on the side that he feels like he's doing the right thing. I don't think he's being that guy.
Okay.
When I saw the story yesterday, I really didn't raise an eyebrow. I didn't think he was being a bad guy. I thought, all right, listen, he's a creature of habit, and he's probably angling for opening day at the stadium.
All right, so let me just flip it over on its side a little bit. You want to be that guy. You want to be the guy that everybody says, you're the guy. You know, we need somebody. We go to Marcus. Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone call you in the office. They want you to start. You start.
That's interesting because – yesterday, I wasn't thinking about the fact that it would have thrown him out of that home opener against Toronto.
Right.
And let's remove the Toronto part even. I mean, I'm sure it's part of it. Home opener is the...
It's probably a throw for him.
But, you know, but now it is interesting. They sit you down and they go, hey, here's what we'd like to do. Even though I understand, and I don't want to beat the guy up just because he's been annoying in the past, it is sort of an indicator you don't love, though. In terms of, like, it being a guy who's going to be the dude. They sat down. They said, we want you to be the dude. We're asking you right now. We are in a crunch. This is not what we planned on. Garrett Cole's unavailable. We need you. And he goes, like my routine. It's I don't think it's ideal.
Well, the only thing I could say is that the other three people that are up for this, if you told Rodon, Schmidt, or Cortez, we want you to be that guy, they would do it.
But even if it throws
them off their routine.
I need tone. I need context. I don't want to give up too much information, but we had a situation here at the station where the way we were asked something kind of changed how we responded. It's the same way in life. If Boone brings him in and Cash brings Stroman and say, listen, would you be interested in starting opening day?
We're thinking about
using you in opening day. It might affect you being the opening day starter at Yankee Stadium. It might take you out of your routine. So we'll understand if you say no, but would you be willing? Then if you say no, it's like, okay. But if you go in and say, listen, we really need you. Can you help us out? Can you pitch opening day? And then he says no, then he's a nozzle. Like, I really need to know
what's on, but you don't know the question. This is why we are sports talk radio hacks.
Oh, no.
Because you have to just make up whatever was said and then yell at him accordingly. Why are you being rational and pointing out that the tone of conversation changes everything?
No, because I don't want to go on record ripping the guy, and then I find out that the context does matter.
Of course it does. Do we know that they only sat down with him?
That's what's coming out. I don't think that's fair to Marcus Stroman that got out. If you asked him to start and he said, no, it shouldn't be out there. Why do you want your player to look bad?
Yeah, exactly. So all right, let's look into that side of it. Who leaked it? And does that give us an indication of what the tone was? So if the Yankees are mad at him, then why would they want to throw their player under the bus? If it's not a big deal, maybe it wasn't leaked out. It just kind of came out because it's not that big of a deal. If Stroman's side leaked it out, how does that benefit him? I don't think it's amazing with this team, Peter. Right?
Like it's amazing with the sport.
Because I was down there and it was only one day, but I really feel bad for those guys. I know it's Florida and it's the winter, so you feel like they're lucky to have it. It's such a long camp. Like I just couldn't believe. Like talking to some of those guys. Like in every other sport, even football, they narrowed it down out of three preseason games. Hockey and basketball, they get together for 2 weeks. They play like five preseason games. Bang, the season starts. This is six weeks.
But don't you
weeks.
Feel sorry for Jet beat writers when they had to live for a month and a half
because
in Portland?
Because they had to go to Corlin when the Giants had to go to Albany. I get it, but it's still like 6 weeks and not every day.
It's different though, Don. It's also for football. Once the regular season starts, after your game, you're sleeping at home. You sleep home. These guys are on the road constantly, for 6 months.
But you're there for 6 weeks. You got to justify your existence every single day. So sometimes there's no story, but they can't not write a story.
Right.
They can't say, nothing happened today. We'll see you on Tuesday. No, so they've got to write something. So every story becomes a big deal. But when you really look at it, is it that big of a deal?
Right.
Like, listen, I don't want to sit here and just blindly defend Stroman. I like him, but I do think he can be nozzly at times. But, like, every time he makes a move or says something, is that the way we're just going to dissect it like a fine-tooth comb?
Yep.
Every single time?
Well, we're in the middle of the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Crowd is filing in here at the Rutherford. There's a lot of excitement around the Garden. There's a buzz.
Yeah. You're sensing buzz?
Oh, yeah. Yesterday, the Garden was really loud for St. John's, which is unbelievable.
Why not? It's their home court.
And now they're playing on the Friday of the Big East Tournament for the first time in 24 years.
You know what?
24 years.
We got to give credit where credit is due. I mean, I trashed Rick Pitino a few weeks ago. It has been a bounce back few weeks for this program.
But you trashed his
The team.
Well, he trashed the team, and I trashed him for his approach. But hey, listen, he was wrong, and so was I. Because here we are, Friday of the Big East Tournament, and they got a meaningful game.
I don't think he really meant it as the work that he ended up claiming it was, but we always thought he was a good coach.
Well, he did say to the team, he said, all right, now we have to play seven elimination games to get where we want to go, which was the Big East Final. This is game seven. They've won all the other six against good teams. So they've stepped up, and they've done very, very well. I don't think they're going to beat UConn. We'll see. UConn's a special, special team. Well, anyway, you've heard the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com today. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls. I want to remind you about spring training. It isn't just for baseball players. It's time for you to get into shape and ready for the warmer weather. For over a decade, NJDad has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40-plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJDiet uses your hair and saliva, along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then, NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water, and you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number, locations close by, or available from home with live online consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get ready for spring with njdiet.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're coming to the Big East tournament, come to the Rutherford and say hello. You walk in the front door, walk up the steps, or on the outside. What would this be, a patio, Don?
Yes, it would be.
Oh, come by.
It's expansive.
It's people are just having a good time drinking copious amounts of liquor. It's
warm,
unbelievable.
Too. I didn't know how to dress because I was 87 in Tampa when I left after the game. Then I go to Pittsburgh. It was like overcast and like 50.
I was walking behind Don. He didn't know when we were coming in together.
Yeah.
He's got an overcoat on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, because I obviously packed it. Not knowing what, you know, and again, I needed it when I got to Pittsburgh because it was cold this morning.
Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. I, just on the Upper West Side, I live right off the river.
Give us an address.
I'd rather not.
All right.
But I live right there off the water, and it was cool. And they had texted us. They said it's going to be warm. So I called Troy Jefferson, the great Troy Jefferson.
Yeah, TJ.
And I said, what is it? I said, are you there right now? He said, yeah, I'm up here right now. I said, what's the temperature like? And it was different. It was warmer here than it was at home, so I planned accordingly. Now, real quick, between the members-only jacket and the Edward James Olmos glasses.
There's meth cooking somewhere.
Is that what you... I was just thinking it's an 80s job.
Yeah, it feels like I'm doing a show in 1982.
Ryan Hurley said, I look like the tech expert for a crew that solves various cases and fights injustices 1984 through 1987. I mean, this is the... I'm giving very mid-80s right now, though.
All right, now, before we go to some phone calls, people lined up. Don, what happened? Rangers, they let 2-0, 3-2. They get their butts kicked. What happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
I want to know.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Tell me.
Tampa's desperate.
Right.
They're only 2 points of falling out of a playoff spot. It's a good team, and they picked up Duclair and Dumba, and those were really nice moves for them at the trade deadline. And the Rangers were playing a third game in 4 nights. Tampa hadn't played since the previous Saturday. So desperate team, fresher in the third period. Rangers had a great first. Tampa came back with a great second, tied at 2. Rangers had a 3-2 lead early, and then the wheels kind of came off. And listen, I'm not going to take anything away from Tampa, but you don't think that that's an advantage? That's a good, talented team, desperate, fresh, going up against the Ranger team that playing their third game in 4 nights.
Oh, I mean, so explained it.
Yeah, and then they made some mistakes, and Tampa has just the ability to do it. I tell you, Braden Point, like Peter would be a good person to ask because he follows hockey.
Oh,
Braden Point
deeply.
Is probably not someone that Peter has an intimate knowledge of.
No.
Like, you know Kucherov, you know, yes. Stamkos, you know, Hedman. Braden Point's maybe one of the most underrated players in the league. Had 4 points, hat trick last night.
I just saw one of his goals. Magnificent.
That Tampa team, very talented, but they had holes. And early in the season, it took a while to get going. But I'm telling you now, they're going to be a very, very dangerous team if you have to face them in the first round. And if the season ended today, that's who the Rangers would play in the first round.
Now, why the Islanders? Why are they pooping themselves?
I was calling the game last night, so I didn't see it. But 21 shots on goal? Now, Buffalo's playing very well, but you need the game. The only thing I can think of, too, from a fatigue standpoint, they come back from the West Coast. The road trip continues in Buffalo. So is that something to do with it? Buffalo's playing well. Islanders coming off a Western swing. Their last game was in L.A. on Tuesday, and they got to play in Buffalo. So maybe it had something to do with it, but, you know, 21 shots on goal against the Sabres. You got to do better than that. Right now you've got six teams battling for those two spots. It's going to be really interesting down the stretch. Detroit's in free fall. They've lost 7 in a row. Capitals are on the Western West. They're only a couple of points out of a playoff spot. The Islanders got a lot of work to do to try to get in.
Have the Penguins decided to just go ahead and pack this thing in? I mean, they're not far out.
I'm telling you. The only thing they can do to fix this is trade Sid. Sid can't be happy. He's upset that Gensel got dealt. They couldn't afford to keep Gensel. What are you doing there? They've got it. They won last night, but the Sharks are terrible. It feels like it's over there. And I think the only way to correct it is to trade Sid.
I don't like what you're saying. I don't respect it. I don't appreciate it.
But I've got a pot of meth cooking, and I can't really argue with you.
No, it's not. I don't know why you're going to meth. It's more like, but, you know, I have to – it's like the Enchantment Under the Sea dances tonight.
Right.
I got to hustle up because Duran's playing at the Garden later. You know, that's a
but
more
But you also
where
give
at.
Me a MacGyver feel, right. too.
But that's the thing. No, you know, thank you. That's what it is. Duran's playing at the Garden later, and I've heard that there's a shipment coming in.
Right.
Of cocaine.
Right.
And I'm fighting to make sure these teenagers don't get their hands on it after the concert.
And you're going
to
do it all with a paperclip.
That's right. Yep. I'll make the whole thing happen.
And he's also red hot because he's going to have to do a lot of waiting, and he didn't buy any batteries for his Watchman.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to. That's me. That's me right there. Yeah, that's me. 80s man. I have my Watchman, Dom, but my battery's dead. And not to mention, it's so sunny outside. And, you know, the old black and white Watchman, Dom, when the sun picks up, you can't see anything.
Now, people that are young that are listening to the show right now, it was such a big deal. The Watchman was like, you couldn't believe that you were living in this time. That there was this little TV that you could carry around. And now everybody's carrying around a little TV. It's amazing. Let's go to Joe in Tennessee. Joe.
Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Here's my question. Mm-hmm. The Yankees reportedly offered Yamamoto $30 million a year, a guy who'd never thrown a pitch in the major leagues, at a time when we assumed Gerrit Cole was healthy. Now Gerrit Cole's not healthy, and when Snell or Montgomery are brought up, two successful free agent pitchers, all we hear about is the luxury tax being 110%. Was that luxury tax not going to be in effect for Yamamoto? Or what?
No,
what's the difference?
It's a good. I'll tell you the difference, Joe. I mean, they were enamored with Yamamoto. I don't think they're enamored with Snell or with Montgomery. I mean, they know what Montgomery is. Yeah. And Yamamoto's 25 years old. By the way, Yamamoto's had an awful spring training. I'm not saying he's going to have an awful year, but there is going to be a transition. And also, that was before they did Marcus Stroman, Joe. So Marcus Stroman, let's say, rounded off as $19 million a year. So if they gave Yamamoto 30, well, they wouldn't have gotten Marcus Stroman, so that would have been $11 million more than where they are right now, which would have cost them 22. But if they, in fact, go out and get Snell now, after having signed Marcus Stroman, if you sign Snell for 30 a year, that's $63 million that you're spending for Snell, and they're looking at it and go, we'll take a shot with Luis Gil.
And they were never really interested in Snell anyway. The only reason
they did offer him.
But obviously not to the point of Yamamoto. They wanted Yamamoto.
Well, they offered.
They kicked the tires on Snell.
Right.
They probably knew the offer wasn't going to get it done anyway based on everything that's happened. And now if you're interested, it's going to be based more out of desperation than interest in the player. Nothing's changed about Blake Snell's ability. What's changed is now the Yankees having to go through 2 months or possibly 3 months without their best pitcher.
Let's go to Christian way out in Miami. Christian.
Hey, Michael, Peter, Don, how are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Listen, Michael, quick question. I know you guys were mentioning the Aaron Judge, him coming into spring training kind of heard and with questions.
He didn't come into spring training.
True that, Oh, well, whatever. He felt the twinge in his obliques. I don't know. I just it's just worrisome. Just real quick, are the Yankees still planning to play him in center field?
Absolutely.
And why?
Because they have nobody else. Well, first of all, he likes playing center field, so you're not asking him to do something he doesn't want to do. Soto can't play center field. Verdugo is a much better left fielder. You don't want Judge in left field at Yankee Stadium, which is even more ground to cover than center. And I don't think they're going to play him there out there every day. I think he's going to DH maybe three times a week. So he'll be in center three or four times a week, and then the other times he'll still be in the lineup. He's going to be the DH. Christian, necessity. You know, sometimes if Jason Dominguez wasn't hurt, we wouldn't have this.
But you mean to tell me they couldn't find a suitable set of fielders if the Mets got Hader? I mean, just, for example, the Braves, they moved their prized possession of Acuña from center to right field, knowing that, you know, a center field is part of the most arduous position to play in the outfield. You're going to put Aaron Judge, who's coming off an injury of the toe, and they're going to stick him there? I don't know, Michael. That's what we should talk about.
They did go out and get a great center fielder in Trent Grisham. He's one of the best defensive center fielders in baseball. So he's going to play there when Aaron Judge isn't. But also, he might hit 200. So you can't afford to have that. Who are you sitting down? You're sitting down Verdugo and his 35 doubles? You're certainly not sitting down Soto. Are you going to give up with 4 years left on his contract on Stanton? I mean, sometimes necessity, you know, is a mother of invention.
And again, you don't want to landlock Dominguez when he comes back by signing a center fielder to a long-term contract.
Right. Sam Adams, the official beer of the Big East, and Truly Hard Seltzer, the official hard seltzer of the Big East, are a proud supporter of this Big East broadcast. I'm really excited about our next guest. You got to stay tuned. I love covering St. John's. That was my first beat at the Post. And Walter Berry and Chris Mullen took a team to the Final Four. It was just an amazing time for college basketball in the city. And the great Walter Berry will join us in just a moment. But first, Peter's going to tell us about FanDuel.
That's right. I absolutely will tell you about FanDuel. And do you think, does Walter Berry also have to call Don Dom?
No, not. The whole team wasn't like that, just Chris.
Well, but if they're unified, as they were back then,
exactly,
they will do it.
FanDuel is putting the ball in your court for the rest of the NBA season. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That is $200 if your bet wins. Bet on the NBA with a wide range of bet types, including quick bets, live same game parlays, player props, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/Peter and make your first bet a layup. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. That expires 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-OPEN-Y or text OPEN-Y at 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Coming to you live from the Rutherford, right across the street from Madison Square Garden. The Big East tournament tonight. And at 5:30, it's going to be St. John's against UConn. Listen, I have been very, very fortunate. You know, I've gotten to call five World Series teams. And I'll tell you what, covering St. John's in 1985 was as much fun as I've ever had. That team was great. If it wasn't for Georgetown, that team is the national championship team. And they went to the Final Four, and I'm one of the stars of the team. I'm so happy to see him. It was Walter Berry, and he's joining us now. Walter, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Life is good.
Apparently really good. Did I just overhear you saying you just got married?
Just got married in Panama.
Love it.
Beautiful wife. Uh-huh. Everything is wonderful.
Good
wow.
for you.
This is your first time around?
Yes.
Wow.
See, we both waited. Everybody on that team waited.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen. Apparently so. You guys knew something.
Yeah, it's better to wait it out.
Good
so,
for you, man.
Do you have fond memories of those times? I mean, in 86, you're one of, I don't want to embarrass you, you're one of the best college basketball players I've ever seen. I mean, you were like unstoppable on the court. You have fond memories of those times?
I got great memories, man. Just playing with Mark Jackson, Chris Mullin, Shelton Jones. Those guys made life beautiful at St. John's.
What do you think happened against Georgetown? Why was Georgetown such a problem for you guys?
I think John Thompson set something where he was going to deny Chris the ball and let everybody else beat him. And unfortunately, it didn't work that way.
Unbelievable. Now, I've always wondered this. I don't want to put you in an uncomfortable position. You were one of the greatest college basketball players of all time. Walter, why do you think that didn't translate to that kind of level of success in the NBA?
Well, I started out well. Mm-hmm. When I got traded from Portland, because I was in Portland first, they didn't need a small forward. So I got traded to San Antonio. My career started going well. And as I went, it just – Larry Brown came in. I got traded to the Nets. And then from there, I went to Houston. And finally, I was just saying – maybe it's time for me to skip out and go to Europe and try something different.
And did you like playing in Europe?
I loved it. I played in Greece with Olympiacos. I played in Italy. So I was all over the globe playing in Europe.
Mm-hmm. How many years did you play in Europe?
12 years.
Oh, so I think I'm starting to understand more how you were able to fill your days and end up getting married at 59 years old. Sounds like you had a pretty good time.
I took a long rest.
Now, is it an annoying feeling, though? Because I think it's like, I think there are probably a lot of great ball players who have these things happen, who, like, a trade happens here, you end up with a coach where you're just not aligned, they don't see your skill set the same way, it doesn't gel with their – we keep seeing this with the NFL teams in this town. Mm-hmm. There are these great players who come in, they just don't seem to use these guys well here. It must be a really frustrating feeling, though, that you feel like, I've dominated on the highest platform in NCAA. I know what I'm capable of. Why can't these guys see it? That must be a tough thing to go through.
I just think when my career got a jump start in San Antonio, I led the team in scoring with about 18 points a game, 6-7 rebounds. And I think for a first and second year player, that is great. You look at the guys now averaging 16-18 points a game. Hey, sky's the limit for them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now it's even crazier because you might have to make a decision whether a guy can play after just 1 year. I mean, we got 4 years of work and the adjustment was difficult. So how is it for these kids who sometimes bypass college altogether or just play 1 year and jump to the NBA?
I tell you what, they better be good when they jump because it's a whole nother ball game once they get there.
I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, that there was a big source of discussion. You left after junior year. Was that a tough call for you, not to stay the senior year?
That was a tough call for me, and I wish they had that rule in play that you can go back to college, because I certainly would have went back to school.
When I saw
what was going on.
What was it like playing for Louis?
Great.
Yeah.
And my experience with Coach Conoseca was great. He was one of the greatest coaches in college basketball, I think, if not the best.
Now, when you see the NBA, what it's become right now, do you like the way the game is? Because all it is 3-point shooting.
The game has totally changed. There's nobody in the paint doing big man moves, doing post moves. The game has totally changed to a jump shot game.
When you watch a game, do you think you would adjust to the way it's played today, or would you take advantage and try something different and use your skill set to do something that other guys aren't doing today?
Take advantage because with my low post game, I think it's no shot blockers now in the NBA like it was before. You know, you had Akeem, you had Patrick Ewing, you had these guys in there, and you couldn't get over them guys too much. So now it's nobody in the middle, so it's easy, I think.
you obviously played during a glorious time of college basketball. We talked about your teammates. Who were the best that you played against that you just said, man, that these guys are on a different level?
I think, you know, Jordan, of course. Michael Jordan was one of the best I played against back then. That was great in college.
And you could tell even then.
And it was just a whole bunch of guys that was just good back then.
You're here with Schweppes. Tell me about it.
Schweppes is, oh, man, a great soda company. I've enjoyed Schweppes before they even invited me here to be here today.
Mm-hmm.
And when they learned, and I spoke to them, and they talked about the soda, and I said, this is the best soda that I drink, been drinking all my life, is Schweppes.
Perfect marriage.
I'm one of the biggest Schweppes.
You're a big Schweppes guy.
Zero-calorie ginger ale guys in the business today.
All right, so your St. John's team is making an unlikely run. How do you like their chances against UConn today?
I got them 10-1.
Really?
Yes, I got them 10-1. He's got them playing amazing right now, mm-hmm. and they on a high, and I believe they're going to do it tonight.
You know, I read a story in the Post yesterday. I smiled that you went up to Pitino and you had on dark glasses on, and he didn't know who you were right away, right?
Right. And I said, you know who I am? He said, no. He was looking. I said, Walter Berry. He said, oh, my God. Where you been?
I can't imagine the pride that you had in 85 that three Big East teams were playing in the Final Four. When you look at the Big East now, what do you think?
It's not what it was then. Then it was everybody was good, and now you got certain teams that's pretty good.
And just different teams, right?
Different teams.
That's completely different
that's
world.
That's what's crazy
different
about
world.
Yeah. Well, you look tremendous. You think you could play at 59 right now, get me a couple points?
I probably can't jump over a Sunday newspaper, but I can still get you some points.
What do you miss more than anything?
Just competing. Oh, man, the competing thing was incredible. And now that I'm just home, retired, just doing nothing, it's like I'm always under the TV. My wife is always telling me, get out and do something. Go play golf. Go do something. I'm under the TV watching the games.
Well, no wonder you got married. She's telling you to go play golf. You got to keep her there. Yeah.
When you watch the NBA and you see LeBron, how does LeBron stack up against, let's say, a Jordan?
Look, it's two different type of players. But if I had to choose which one I'm going to start an NBA team with, it'll be Jordan for sure. Mm-hmm. But you can't take nothing away from LeBron. He's great also.
See, I always wonder this. Like, when I watch a game, you know, being an announcer, it's hard for me, like, just to watch the game. I'm also judging the announcer and how he's doing, how I would do in that spot. When you're watching a college game or an NBA game, are you saying, well, this is what I would do with this guy? This is the move I'd make on that guy?
That's what goes through all players' mind when we're watching the younger guys now. We saying, we could move here. We could do this. We got that shot here. We would have blocked that shot there. That's what we vision as being players.
Now, you mentioned that the NBA is different than when you played in it. Do you think it's better or different bad?
It's different right now. It's uh-huh. different right now. The game is totally different. It's a little watered down now, mm-hmm. and a lot of players don't talk about it. But, you know, we set the platform for these guys, and these younger guys are coming in and doing amazing things also.
It's an interesting time, too, because I could argue it's some of the best players. It's just the game itself that's not as good, right? When you look at the top of the league and you look at your LeBrons, your Stephs, your Lukas, your Jokic's, these are guys who I really think in any era would be amazing players. But the way the game is played, you know, you end up just yearning for the late 80s and early 90s and the physicality that existed at that time.
Yeah, like you said, this era is a little different. And the LeBron James in this era are makes it look easy because they could have played in our era also, but it's a handful of players that couldn't play in our era as well.
Is there anyone that stands out to you, though, that you see in particular that you're like, oh, I don't care what era they played in, they would have been the same kind of player?
Definitely LeBron. Maybe Durant would be the same no matter what. And Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis.
Would be Giannis. Yeah. It's a couple of players, and the young boy from
Luka. Yeah.
He's another one could play in any era.
I've always wondered about this, you know, covering that 85 team. And Louis was very loyal to his seniors. I say, now I'm going to ask you because you were part of the team. He loved himself some Mike Moses, who was a good player, but he was not Mark Jackson. I'd say if he played Mark Jackson more in 85, you guys win the title.
I think Mark Jackson wasn't really ready. He was still getting in gear to become Mark Jackson. So we had to go with the experienced guard. But once Mark Jackson got in there and got some practice, got some workouts in, he became great.
Now, you keep in touch with any of the guys like Chris and the gang?
Yeah, I still talk to Chris. I still talk to Mark. I still talk to Shelton Jones. Uh-huh. We still all in contact.
Is there a common topic when you guys get together, when you reminisce?
How great we were.
The wins we got.
Yeah. Anyway, it's great to see you, Walter. It really is.
Good seeing you guys.
And good luck with Schweppes and all
definitely.
That.
Thank you. Thank
congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations on the marriage.
Congrats. Thank you. Thank you.
That's Walter Berry, everybody. One of the greats to ever put on the St. John's uniform. That's for sure. Michael, Don, and Peter with you here at the Rutherford, right across the street from Madison Square Garden. So if you go into the game, stop by and say hello. We will be here. It's on 33rd, right off 8th Avenue, and we'd love to say hello. A lot of people are here already. As we get closer to game time, there's going to be even more.
And don't be thrown off. There's a lot of construction around like 33rd, but you know we're open. There's signs to follow, but some of the sidewalks are closed. So if you're driving by and you see construction and think that you're not in the right place, you are in the right place because it's still very easy to get to.
Oh, you're so helpful. You really are.
He's a man of the people.
What a tremendous dude.
He flies in from Pittsburgh.
Right. And he's exhausted.
And then he's still helping out.
He's worried about people going into construction sites. He's amazing. Hey, to hit a home run, everything needs to line up perfectly. No different than finding the person you want to marry when the time comes to propose. Well, do what I did. Visit the engagement experts at London Jewelers. They'll make shopping for a ring easy and help you hit it out of the park. Let them help you pick or design the perfect ring to fit any budget from their 2 by London collection. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right. So visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Please mention I told you to stop by and you'll get the Michael K. treatment.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.